I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman. And
you're listening to Creative Guts. Welcome to Creative Guts. We're so excited that you found us. If you stumbled upon our podcast or know us personally, either way, welcome. We're very excited to share with you all things creative and inspiring.
What she said.
Oh my God.
So we decided, how did this start? We decided that we were going to start a podcast.
I burst into your office and said, want to start a podcast?
And I was like, sure.
Yeah, that sounds fun. It was that quick. She said yes immediately with no to little thought.
Yeah. There was very little hesitation on my part because I really like to hear myself talk. I really like to talk, even if nobody's listening. That's fine. Although somebody's listening if you're hearing this.
Yeah. We started working together and then we started becoming, you know, work friends where you're kind of friends, but you're kind of forced to be friends. And then we started becoming real friends. And I think our conversations are always delightful and entertaining to, at the very least, us.
That's true.
And
we wanted all of you to benefit from the sheer delight that is a conversation between Sarah and Laura.
Or maybe you'll hate us. But if you do, don't worry, because we're not talking all the time. A lot of times we're talking with creative people
right. Who
have guts.
Right.
Literally and figuratively.
So the whole gist of this podcast is that we wanted to explore the pursuit of creativity. So people who are creative through their work or through their passion projects on the side or both if they're super lucky.
Mm-hmm.
maybe those are the same thing for some people. Like, I don't know who those people are.
And, you know, hitting all different kinds of mediums, you know, you initially always think artist, musician. Yes, we will have those, but we will also have chefs and choreographers and architects and people that just are very creatively minded in their business. You know, we're going to talk to people that are working in the field of promoting the arts and culture.
Yeah, and how it connects to our world and our politics and our communities and our vibrancy and all those other things that, you know, are life.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this for me, so when Laura asked me if I wanted to start a podcast with her, I was like, hell yeah. And part of it for me was that I was wrapping up Leadership Seacoast, which is a leadership program in the Seacoast of New Hampshire. There's tons of leadership programs in the state and across the country, honestly. So I'm in the middle of wrapping Leadership Seacoast, and we had just done Arts and Culture Day. And I went into this program thinking like, yes, this program is going to benefit me professionally as the director of the Workforce Housing Coalition, but I also really want it to like benefit me, Sarah, the human.
Mm-hmm.
So I was determined through this program to find something that made me feel real good and like went straight to my heart that I could like do and tackle and like make my thing besides just being workforce housing. Not that I don't love workforce housing, but it's literally all I ever talk about.
That and bunnies. You'll hear those two topics.
I knew you were
going
to say that.
You'll hear them mentioned frequently. Too much, almost.
Perhaps. Arguably.
Oh my gosh. You should start like an advocacy program for bunny housing.
I would literally love to. It would combine my two favorite things.
That would be funny.
Yeah. My rabbit lives in a workforce housing qualifying apartment.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Should we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Do y'all care who we are?
Yes.
You can't answer me.
They do. They're also laughing.
Give the people what they want.
I met Sarah through work, and I immediately thought, what a hippie. She walked around in bare feet or socks and smiled all the time, which is wonderful for a work setting, but it was a little surprising.
I didn't realize that wasn't normal.
Because you worked in an office alone prior to that.
Yep.
We usually keep our shoes on. Although I've kind of kicked mine off more than once since you've started working there and started a trend.
I'm so happy to have started that trend. I am, Laura's not wrong, a hippie. And the shoeless thing to me feels very normal.
It's lovely. It's nice.
I'm at home. I just think you spend so much time at your workplace. You should feel at home there.
But Sarah was a infectious, fun person right from the get-go.
Duh.
So I remember telling a coworker, gosh, I hope I can be friends with her. Like, you know, it's hard to find friends after college, after, you know, certain eras of your life. And I'm in my 30s. And, you know, I meet people through various events and different things. But it is hard to meet, like, kindred spirits, people that get the same dumb jokes that you like. And Sarah is one of them. So yeah,
unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Yeah, we're breaking up right now on this first episode of this podcast.
I don't even know why you're still listening. This isn't going to go anywhere.
But I'm introducing Sarah and she's going to introduce me. So here's how it goes. She is a driven, hardworking force of a short woman. She will just punch you in the face with her energy. She's so exciting, exuberant, friendly, fun, and a huge advocate for workforce housing and bunnies. And someday maybe those will be combined for bunny housing, which is a real serious need.
Did you all catch the short joke in there? This is the kind of abuse I get all the time.
It was pretty short. I don't know if people noticed it. Sarah has a master's in public policy. She's on the planning board for her town.
It's the worst. I hate it. Everybody join your planning board. It's incredibly important. It'll make you die a little. But it's where change happens.
Sounds like a blast. I'm going to sign up right now.
Yeah.
But Sarah really believes in making New Hampshire and the world a better place. She seems to be striving for it constantly, which is very admirable and inspiring. And I think that her day-to-day process, she uses creativity constantly in the choices of how to make people pay attention and listen to things. For example, she's really open to, you know, she's an art director in the sense of how her marketing goes. And she did a Taco Tuesday for her annual event for her organization that she's the executive director of, the Workforce Housing Coalition. And I thought that was a really bold, cool move because a lot of nonprofits aren't necessarily trying to be hip or cool or approachable in that degree. And I feel like you're thinking more like the person on the other end.
Yeah.
How to get people interested. And that's seen through your work.
You hire a millennial, you get a millennial.
That's right.
I'm bringing the youth, kids.
We're going to be hip.
Hip. I'm going to make that annual meeting and award ceremony cool if it's the last thing I do. There's going to be a line outside. People are going to be trying to get in like it's a rave.
Yeah. You're going to have that
minus
stamp on
drugs.
Your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not do that. We're getting high on workforce housing.
The rent prices are getting too damn high.
Let's not be high like the rent prices. Oh my God.
This is probably the best introduction I've ever gotten.
Right?
Yeah. I dig it. I dig it. So Laura is, let's see, we've been friends for what, like a year now?
Yes.
We've been officially Facebook friends for a little bit more than a year, and that's pretty much the same thing as being friends.
Yeah, I'd say so. But our first hangout wasn't until like November.
Yeah.
We actually looked it up on the calendar recently.
Yeah, we did. We had to. It was a thing. We hung out for the first time in November. We have an anniversary. Do you remember what day it was?
It would be in my Google calendar. So
we'll have to look it up again later.
Sure as heck find it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, who am I?
Laura is a person who never stops. Ever.
She never shuts up.
Never. Honestly, it's amazing. It's like awe-inspiring. Sometimes I go to bed and I have a message on Facebook from Laura, and then I wake up in the morning and I have like five more. And
yeah,
I'm like,
Jeff's he keeps telling me, stop messaging people. I'm like, they'll see it in the morning.
They'll see it in the morning. And I do. And yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have five messages from Laura, which means that she went to bed later than I did and woke up earlier than I did. And it blows my mind. Laura always has a new idea, which can be a little bit overwhelming and also amazingly inspiring. And she is so empowered to take on whatever thing she comes up with. And the thing is I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't really sound like feasible to me. And she's like, I can do it. And then she does it because she's also like ridiculously talented. Laura and I also balance each other out pretty well because you're really, really, really good at stuff that I don't understand.
That's cool.
I don't know if I'm good at anything, but
you're good at a lot of things.
Good at a couple things.
You're better at networking than I am, and I think you're way better at public speaking than I am.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. You are such a good public speaker.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I'm terrible. Like it's embarrassing. How bad I am.
We'll train you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long road of sucky.
I like public speaking if I know what I'm talking about.
Well, that would be ideal, yeah.
Right? Like, if I'm not really sure.
I almost would prefer it if I don't. Like, someone just asked me questions publicly. I think that would be more natural than trying to remember something and being fearful of the presentation.
I just came up with a great idea.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, God. It sounds like terrible. Because you're not telling me, so it sounds terrible. I did public speaking class in college, and there was 5 students in the class, and I was scared the whole time. And I knew them all, and I was close friends with a couple of them, and I still feared judgment. That's the thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why, for some reason, me speaking in public, I feel like people maybe are judging my body. That might be part of it, because, you know, I'm only some percentage comfortable in my own skin in that sense. But when I put a piece of artwork out there, I don't know, I can get through it and be like, this is for art's sake. So, you know, but if I'm trying to do a presentation for work, which is typically the case for public speaking, that really is nerve-wracking.
Yeah. A public speaking professor of mine gave me some advice, which is that when you get up there, you know what you're going to say, but your audience doesn't. So if you screw it up, like, they have no idea. Like, what you said probably sounds fine. I mean, you'd have to really screw it up for it to, like, not sound fine. Yeah. But if you're thinking in your head, like, oh, forgot to say this, like, your audience doesn't know that. All right. So Laura is an artist. She is, by day, graphic designer and graphic advisor, which is awesome. So she is living out a way to, like, monetize visual art, and she gets to work with clients on their graphic design needs. And Laura studied studio art at Chester College, which doesn't exist anymore, but was still a really cool college.
It was amazing.
In its heyday.
Yeah.
And then by night, she is Artful Harper, the visual artist, painter / sculptor / blah, blah, blah. I don't know all the words. Mixed media.
My preferred way of describing myself is interdisciplinary artist.
She's an interdisciplinary artist.
It just means I work in multiple disciplines. So,
and her art is really good. Like, I personally really like it.
That's nice.
I feel like it would be awkward if I didn't, but I would be honest with you. Like, your art is art that vibes with me.
Aw, that's awesome.
I try. I'm glad. I don't like everybody's art.
That's okay.
But I like Laura's art.
Well, thank you.
It's cool and young and feels neat and, like, space and ocean and, like, yeah.
I deal a lot with outer space and ocean, and the common theme there is floating. And I think I'm ultimately trying to chase or capture that feeling of weightlessness, of no fear, of no stress, of nothing holding you down. Because, you know, as Sarah mentioned, I do a lot, which I plan to do pretty much till the day I die, because you only live once and I'm almost addicted to that. But yep. I do wish that I could feel more relaxed in general and have a balance with conquering any idea that I want to try to chase, and also not have anxiety about that and other stuff in life.
Yeah, Laura and I have a lot in common in the sense that we're both, like, kind of like anxious people who
an anxious
like
hippie.
To stay. An anxious, I know.
You're it's an anxious hippie.
Really weird.
It is.
But like, we like to keep ourselves incredibly busy.
Yes. And I would say you hide your anxiety pretty darn well. Like,
thank you.
Because I thought you were a hippie right out the get-go.
Right.
You know, I wasn't like, wow, she's an uptight, nervous person, which I don't think initially I probably give off, but I would say within the first, you know, not, it doesn't take long for you to see, like, this is held together with glue.
Yeah. I find, like, Laura has some, like, I don't want to call them character flaws. I find Laura's annoying things incredibly endearing.
Oh, this is my introduction?
She's a little bossy.
Okay, you know how I like to paint it in the best light possible? If you've seen Parks and Rec, Leslie Knope is my spirit animal.
Laura is Leslie Knope.
And, you know,
except with red hair that matches her doggo.
Yes,
Max.
That's right. Which I think, you know, Leslie Knope is like the glorified cool version of it. And it's not always so pretty being chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, it can be messy and stuff.
You're a very beautiful chaos.
Aww.
You're like doing cool things in like a way that like is a little bit overwhelming to watch. And you're just like, you go, girl.
Imagine my husband's life.
I know.
Poor Jeff.
I know.
He's amazing. He's super supportive and like super on board with everything I do. But he definitely, and he balances me out because he'll just pull my ankle back down to earth after I start floating away.
Yep. Take a night off, Laura.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't no rest for the Laura.
Yeah.
You're also sort of an interesting like chaos type A blend.
Yes.
You're like spreadsheets and then like a mess and you're like chaos and like all over the place, but you're getting really beautiful things done. And then like you go into your art studio before a show and you're like, oh, this looks beautiful. And like,
how the hell did she pull that?
You like pull it off.
Yeah.
It's very amazing.
I do. Yeah. I like to be on time. I like to have a schedule. I make spreadsheets for our vacations so that we can just get a ton of cool things in on the vacation.
We recently had a little like, I don't want to call it an argument, but like Jeff and I definitely ganged up on Laura to call out her like unorganized organization.
You guys are jerks.
She's like organized and unorganized. I'm not even sure which one's stronger or if you're just like a yin yang. Laura also lives in the New Hampshire seacoast, just 10 to 15 minutes away from me. And she plays music and makes some beautiful music, participated in the RPM challenge this year, which is wildly inspiring and makes me on March 1st want to pick up a like guitar and learn so I can do RPM too.
You write and record it in the month of February.
No cheating. You can't start in January.
You can technically write some stuff ahead of time, but like they encourage it, but everything has to be recorded and not pre-recorded in any other time.
Very so, cool.
Yeah. So all of the songs except for one were written in February, and one of my songs on the latest album was written like a month or two prior, but never recorded.
Yeah. And don't hurt your brain too much. RPM doesn't stand for anything.
Record per month.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? What? I have Googled this a million times and asked Aaron, who's done it like 17 times.
Well, now you have me questioning it, but I'm pretty darn sure that's kind of what you do in it. You record a record in a month.
Oh my gosh. So my husband Aaron used to do RPM and then he stopped when he met me. Because I ruined his musical career by making him happy. And apparently
soul-sucking.
I know. It's just like Phil Collins and how all of his music was crap once he like was happy.
I wish I could verbally do a drum solo like him. Bana, 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 ba, ba, boom.
We could play it.
Yeah, maybe we will. So, Sarah, tell us why you give a darn about creativity.
That is such a good question, Laura. Why I give a darn about creativity? Well, let me start by talking about that word creativity. Sometimes we think about art and we think about like the traditional visual arts, like painting and sculpture and all of these things that when you say art, those are the first things that come to mind. And when we're talking about creativity, we're talking about that and then some. It's such a broad word that touches, I personally think most people are creative people.
I do too.
I don't know who like these like, you know, super engineers or math people are who can only use that side of their brain, but I think the majority of us are creative. And especially if you're someone who is sort of grassroots and makes things happen from the ground up and builds coalitions and that kind of thing, that takes a lot of creativity and a lot of guts.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The second word in our name. What is guts to you?
What is guts? Besides the disgusting things inside of you.
What you see on The Walking Dead.
What you see on The Walking Dead. Just kidding. They're not disgusting. They're incredibly important.
I mean,
we need them to live.
We'd be in trouble without them.
Yeah. Yeah. Both kinds. But when we're talking about like creativity and visual arts, we're also talking about like the things that make your community vibrant, and like art is all around you. And if it's not, then you live in a dull place.
And if it's not, make some.
Ah, hell yeah.
Be creative and put yourself out there. It takes a huge amount of vulnerability to put some art on a wall, to play a song at an open mic, to bring your boss a new idea about an expansion on some program that is very out of the box. You got to do it because you're going to get a ton of rejection and criticism, and you're also going to get so fulfilled when you birth a new idea and you know, make something worthwhile and of value to you and others.
Yeah. And while most of this podcast is going to be talking directly with people who are creatives, we're going to have a couple like meta episodes. The one in particular that jumps to mind is whenever we end up talking with Nancy Pearson, who's a Portsmouth city councilor, and we're going to talk to her about like that value of public art and street art and how she, as city councilor in Portsmouth, ran on an arts campaign and made that her priority, which is literally would only work in Portsmouth. You cannot run on an arts campaign elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Such like a bizarre little niche, but something that Portsmouth really values, which is the arts and culture and like vibrancy of their community.
And that's why they're such a huge draw. Do you notice where the majority of the tourists, not connected to, you know, nature and hiking and that stuff, but yeah, just for the fulfillment of what a city or town offers, Portsmouth is one of the number one stops in New Hampshire. It's just got a lot of it swirling around and a lot of different kinds. It's very diverse in that sense. And that's part of why I decided to stay in New Hampshire after I went to college here.
Yeah.
I grew up in Western Maine where not a lot was going on. And I went to school down here and I just fell in love with it. It felt like being, you know, in the world of nature, yet still consuming creative endeavors of others, you know, taking in a lot of cool shows, a lot of art galleries, a lot of performance pieces and cultural stuff, you know.
Yeah.
New England's a pretty white freaking area, but you do get pockets of that diversity and culture in the major hubs. And, you know, it's not quite Boston, but it's, right, it's closer. It's getting there.
And if you're from New Hampshire and you're thinking to yourself like, these chicks are wrong, like New Hampshire doesn't have that much arts and culture, like, you just don't know. You don't see it. You got to find it.
And you find it by listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
now
saw an
you
opening.
Have to listen.
We're going to be talking to a bunch of cool people.
Yeah.
Here are some highlights of who we already have scheduled and we'll be talking with shortly and bringing to your lovely ears. We will be talking with Rose Bryant, an amazing painter in Exeter, who also is the owner of Art Up Front Street, which is an artist collective.
We talked to Chris Cherum, who is the head chef of a Botanica restaurant in Gin Bar.
Ooh, la la.
He's also my little brother. No big deal, but... we talked to Lynette Miles, who people may know because she's an actress and has done quite a few productions in this area at Seacoast Rep and Rochester Opera House.
Acting takes an immense amount of guts.
Yeah.
I'm in awe, and that's a secret little daydream of mine. Like, I wish I could be as brazen as to perform in front of people in that way, you
right?
know? It's incredible.
It's a lot.
I mean, I do with music slightly, and even that turns my stomach to butterflies constantly. But to perform, you know, a play or a musical or, you know, something like that, it's
yeah.
just...
Especially live, like at least with us, you can edit it out if we screw up.
Exactly.
Which we never do.
You're hearing everything or only the best of us. You decide. Or you'll never know, actually.
Podcasts are like the Instagram of performing.
Yes.
You're only hearing our best selves.
Yes. Aside from showing the vibrant environment that we're bringing to light here, we're also going to show the tough stuff. We're going to show how people get motivated when they don't want to get up, when they have yeah. depression, when they are injured, out of work, suffering,
yeah,
you know, can't pay their bills, losing their creativity, worried they're not going to find it again. That's happened to me personally. I created a really pretty series that I was proud of, and then I couldn't come up with something for months that I thought had any value for myself personally and was fearful, am I tapped out? Am I done? You know, and
yeah.
thank God I realized, nope, I still got plenty. So, you
know. She bounced back.
That's right. So we decided to do a podcast. Great. We have an idea. Great. We decide we need some okay equipment. All right. Maybe not the best decision, but we started out with modest equipment that I already had because I do music stuff. And it's all right. It's so-so. So the first four interviews
yeah.
we did were fascinating, fantastic, exactly what we were dreaming. But the quality is just okay. It's not going to blow your mind out of the water. What people say probably will, because
yeah.
it's very fascinating, cool stuff that is just exactly what we wanted to accomplish. So we realized this is a really cool thing we're doing. And even if it doesn't see the light of day, we want to remember these memories. We want it to be clear and crisp because we're having such a fun time. Talking to another artist always gets me more pumped up to create my artwork. And then it just cycles back to them. And after the interview, we were like, we got to both make art right now, you know, and same with music, same with writing, same with a lot of stuff. So,
and luckily we're both careless with money.
Yeah, exactly. So don't tell our husbands, but we went out and we bought some more legit equipment. And we are coming to you now from a Rodecaster Pro. I almost did the Kermit the Frog voice there.
You should have. Oh my God.
We're coming to you live from the Rodecaster Pro. Ah!
Oh my God. Keep that. That was beautiful.
What if I just did the whole interview in a Kermit the Frog voice?
No.
Okay.
I will find a new co-host. I will be like, nope, forget it.
But yeah, so we got good stuff now.
Yeah.
So this
bear with us.
Yes, exactly. This episode is nice and shiny and awesome. The next couple are going to be awesome in what is said.
Yes.
Focus on that part.
Luckily, we did a better job capturing our guests than we did ourselves. So it's really us asking the questions that sucks, and our guests actually sound okay.
Yeah, we're a little distant, I would say.
Yeah.
And, you know, you definitely can hear us and get the heck what's happening. But it is our guests were the priority with the sound.
Yeah.
But after the fourth interview, so episode 5.
Yeah.
You know, we are up and rolling with this stuff. And it sounds pretty darn good.
Yes. And luckily, you're probably going to be sick of hearing from us after this first episode for a little bit anyways. So,
yeah, exactly. So our podcast is going to be mainly interview based with a couple of, you know, meta conversations between Sarah and I as well. Kind of talking opinion based about how we feel about certain things in the arts scene.
Yeah.
In the creative scene. You just wiggled your nose like a bunny. What the hell?
It's how bunnies sense their environment.
Are you sensing something now? What are you doing?
No, I had to sneeze.
Oh my God. Well, you know, we were talking about how like people look like their pets. Like you have the same hair color and you just wiggled your nose like a bunny.
Maybe I'm turning into a bunny.
Oh,
except, you know, I hate lettuce.
She did hop in here.
I did. It's true. So let's talk about our own experiences with creativity.
Let's.
So for me, I am not a visual artist. Well, I'm not. I don't produce art or like monetize art. I will definitely like doodle and do whatever I want.
But you don't have to monetize.
That's true.
To be an artist.
That's true.
Creative.
I wouldn't call myself a visual artist, but I'm definitely a creative person. Let's see. I'm trying to think of like when the first time I like did something that might be considered like a creative thing. Like growing up, I was super creative because I lived in the middle of nowhere and the internet wasn't invented yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't allowed to watch TV until my parents got home from work. And so my brother and I spent a lot of time just like coming up with stuff to do. We were never bored because that'd be foolish. And mm-hmm. I remember doing a lot of cooking. We had shout out to the Magic Spoon cookbook. It was a kid's cookbook that came with a spoonful of glitter, which was awesome.
Hopefully not in the food, right?
Not in the food. It was in the handle. Very cool. Aww. It was like a clear spoon that had like glitter in water in the handle. It was awesome. I love that. I still have the cookbook, but I don't think I have the spoon.
Aww.
But I remember like we made popovers once and they were disgusting. We made other stuff out of the cookbook. Definitely mac and cheese.
And he became a chef.
And he became a chef, all because of the Magic Spoon cookbook. So shout out
to Miss Frizzle, right?
And the other thing I knew how to do when I was a kid was sew. And I used my mom's old sewing machine and like, I remember sewing like stuffed animals and I tried making clothes and like, I don't know, nothing really ever like panned out for me, but I always had fun like being a crafty person.
Using your hands and making.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. What about you? When did you know you were like?
Third grade.
Ah!
I still have my third grade yearbook, which my class for some reason did. Usually you don't do that in elementary school, but we had a third grade yearbook and it was name, favorite book, and future profession. My name was Laura Harper. My favorite book was The Christmas Tree Ate My Mother.
Wow. Yeah, that was my favorite too.
Yeah, right? It's a classic. And profession, artist.
Ah, so you knew.
Yes. I used to illustrate for my best friend at the time. We came up with like this story, very like Nancy Drew, Tom, Hardy Boys. I almost said Tom Hardy. I'd love to read about him. No. Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys-esque, where there was like two twins and a friend, and they had like a detective agency, you know, very Veronica Mars-y before its time. And I used to illustrate it, and we had like, we planned out multiple books and everything. We both were avid readers, and I loved the illustrations and stories, and I loved drawing and making. And when I was that age and maybe a little older, my sister and I both had like kind of like small rooms, but then a walk-in closet. So it was kind of an extension of a room, but there was definitely a separation. And so the walk-in closet, I could paint the walls in there. I was allowed to. So I did murals as a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was awesome. And I did, I would change it up every few years and I just like repaint over it. But I know I did a jungle scene with a giraffe, and I know I did an underwater scene with a bunch of aquatic.
Of course. Life, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I love the water. I might have done an outer space one too, but I can't really remember. And I wish I'd taken pictures of these things, but you know, as a 8-year-old, 10-year-old, you're not really thinking of documenting like we do now.
Right.
But, I wanted to be a muralist. And then when I was in high school, I wanted to be an artist who does, album artwork and band t-shirts. And like, I loved music. I've always soaked in as much music as I can. I remember listening to the record player that my mom had and listening to David Bowie's Space Oddity at 12 years old and crying at the amazing beautifulness of the song and the sadness and his voice. And I remember dancing all the time to music. I just loved music, and I always wished I could play, but never thought I could. And it wasn't until I was 24 that I actually picked up and I started singing in a band and playing an instrument and getting into music. And that is for another day, but
so you were just like born an artist and like grew up an artist and now you're an artist.
Yep.
Wow.
Tale is old.
That's very impressive.
So our episodes are going to be interviews. We're going to dig down deep into the guts of these creatives that we have on here. But we are going to, at the end of each episode, do rapid fire questions. Just sort of quick, you know, questions, quick answers. See what's, you know, right on the tip of their tongue when we shoot a question at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How quickly do you think people will actually answer their rapid fire questions? Do you think people will be pretty good?
I think they'll ramble on a bit because I think it's hard. Unless it's like favorite color, I doubt people will go on and on and on.
Laura, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Now tell us a story about blue. No kidding.
And so to kick it off, Sarah and I are going to be asking each other questions that neither of us have heard prior to this interview. So we are interviewing each other right this second with 5 questions each.
It's going to be awesome.
Rapid fire. Go. Are we going back and forth?
Let's go back and forth.
Okay. Favorite sound, Sarah?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this one. It's such a hard one. Favorite sound.
What is your favorite sound?
I'm tempted to say rain because it was just raining, but that's not it. And it's not even true.
It's a pretty sound, but is it your favorite?
Is it my favorite sound? What is my favorite sound?
Is it Luna munching on some lettuce?
Actually.
Yep.
You know what it is?
What?
It is church bells.
Oh.
Right? Like, when you're, where I grew up, I was pretty close to a church, and like Sundays at noon, I could hear the church bells. And now I can hear like UNH's bells every hour, half hour, however much they do it. Sometimes it's like the Hogwarts song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Aww. So church bells. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really cool noise.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That was not a quick answer.
No, we can do better than that. Laura.
Yes.
Is there a piece of art that best represents you as an artist?
No.
Ooh, interesting. I want it on the record that Laura wrote this question.
I know.
To ask other people.
And it's a hard one. Nope. That's what a thing for me to ask other people. That's terrible. That's really hard.
Laura's rethinking a lot of things right now.
Yeah, life choices right now. I guess if I had to pick one of the first Galaxy Girls that I ever did, the large-scale watercolors of minimalistic portraits of primarily women with watercolor paintings of hair with stars in their hair. Elizabeth, which was after Elizabeth Taylor, is one of my favorite pieces. And not that I am the biggest lover of Elizabeth Taylor. She's not one of my favorites of the greats, but she's all right. She had a beautiful countenance in one photo that really struck me. So those pieces are all very introspective and private and intimate, and I feel like that's a lot of what my art is.
Beautiful and also not rapid.
Not rapid at all.
Rapid questions, not rapid.
All right. What is the most vivid dream or nightmare you can recall?
Oh, you set me up for this.
Yeah.
So when I was a child, this is definitely not a rapid question.
But it's cool.
But it's good. This is a good story, actually. So when I was a child, I was in the living room when my dad was watching The Gremlins. And I was a little bit too young, I think, to handle this movie. And I have not seen it since, so I really don't know if my recollection of it is correct or exaggerated or fabricated or embellished in some childlike imaginative way. And I have had since then several nightmares featuring the gremlins, or what I think the gremlins are. The first one that I can recall took place in my dad's office, and I was probably a teenager.
Wow. And it was that's older than I would think.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm sure I had gremlin nightmares before that because I've had so many since, but that's the first one that I really remember. And I remember a lot of my dreams. I consider that to be an awesome talent of mine.
Yeah.
Because I really like it. And then several years ago, after the one that took place in my dad's office, but still I was probably in my early 20s, I had a gremlin inspired dream that took place in Frank's Furniture. Which is in Stratham, New Hampshire.
At the Rotary.
At the Rotary. And I can't shop there now. Actually, I've never shopped there. I have literally never been in there. But in my dream, I knew it was Frank's Furniture for some reason.
That's so weird.
Frank's Furniture and Gremlins, and that was that.
That's very vivid. You answered the question correctly.
Favorite pet, Max or Rainer?
Nope, not gonna do it.
Just kidding.
Jeff asks me this all the time.
Can't answer that. Favorite movie?
That I can answer. That is tough because I'm a huge movie fan. I've actually one other creative thing I did, honk honk, that's my horn that I'm tooting myself, I guess. That was so dumb.
Everybody ignore her.
Yeah. Fast forward. I made a short film last year called The Fall. And so I'm a huge movie person, and I want to make movies someday whenever I win $1 million and have time to do that. So my favorite movie, I feel like, is the same as every other art chick who went to a art college, which is Amelie.
I love that movie.
I do, too. It's so beautiful and emotive and just darling. It's just, it's an indie darling for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
What Disney character are you most like? Timon or Pumbaa? No, just kidding. Yeah, and I didn't say Disney princess on purpose.
Oh,
so
Disney
that,
character.
You know, I'm not putting you in a box as a little lady, but what Disney character are you most, you know, is your spirit animal?
I've never been a big Disney person.
Oh, really?
So I'm sort of in my brain, listing the number of, Disney characters I can think of off the top of my head. Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
Kind of a
what?
So I'm not a huge fan of her.
I love her.
She's such a snob. I'm the only one who can read. Look at all the stupid townspeople.
One little song makes her a bee. I don't know.
I like that she falls in love with a beast, though. That's cool. Let's see. Aaron's not a beast, so.
Okay, so you're Belle's out.
And I can't read. So I don't think I'm like Belle. I'm definitely nothing like Cinderella.
You're a messy person.
You just lose your shoe and then you leave it there. That's dumb. I wouldn't do that. Plus, why am I wearing heels that don't have ankle straps? That's just terrible for your calf muscles.
It's true.
Tendons, I guess. It's terrible for your calf tendons.
Way to be official with this Disney question here.
I am going to go with Sleepy.
Oh, okay.
Final answer.
Yep.
Is there a dwarf named Hungry? Because I like that one, too.
Maybe Grumpy, because he doesn't eat enough, because he has to share with six other schmoes.
I am never grumpy. There is a dwarf named Happy, right?
Yes. You are not grumpy. You messaged me before coming into work about a terrible, angry mood you were. And you were in such an angry mood. And I looked over at our coworker, Carla. Shout out, Carla.
Carla!
And I said, Sarah's in a bad mood. I don't know if I've ever seen her in a bad mood. And she's like, oh my gosh, yeah. And then you came in as chipper as hell as usual. Like, you are just a walking Mary Poppins song.
There are two things you should know about me. One, I ranted my butt off with Aaron right before I came into work. And so that was very helpful. And I was feeling much better by the time
cathartic.
I got in.
Yeah.
And two, I will pretend to be happy no matter how I actually feel.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I can't do that.
Yeah. I am a faker. I will just smile all day long.
Wow.
Except occasionally when I snap.
Well, probably to your beloved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They see the real sides of us. I hope I see that side someday. Not towards me. I don't want to feel that wrath, but
I'm kind of hoping we get into like a genuine fight at some point. We just got to get it over with.
Is it going to delay the production of the podcast?
Oh my God. It's probably going to be about how you love the podcast more than me.
Priority, Sarah. Get back to it. Keep editing my misspelled words in the titles of videos.
I edit the spelling.
And I do everything else.
Hey, I'm here talking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so hard.
No, it is an equal partnership. I do a lot more of the technical stuff, the editing and that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Song you're listening to on repeat right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked. It's by, I swear to God.
That was so cheese.
No, I'm like, I want, when I find a band or a musician and a couple of songs of theirs that I love, I want to sing it from the rooftops. I want to promote it as much as possible. I want other people to get into it because I believe in it so heartily. And that is Mitski. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's Mitski. There is two songs of hers that are amazing. One is called Nobody, and one is called, it's called Your Best American Girl, and it's just heaven. It is so, the first one is extremely poppy, and the other one is infused with, at first, this like rough softness, and then it just gets rough, gritty, and, you know, just like, oh, you want to scream it, and it's so powerful and moving. And so I really love Mitski right now. And her other work is very beautiful, but those are the two that really shine out.
Bonus rapid question. I have been nonstop listening to your Cool Ladies playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
So I've also been listening to some Mitski.
Mitski's on there. She's awesome.
I'm also mad obsessed with The Mother We Share by Churches, except with a V instead of a U.
Churches.
That song, though, The Mother We Share, like every time it comes on, it gets me.
Churches is so great.
So good.
You should listen to their other stuff. They're amazing. They're awesome.
Yeah.
I love her voice.
I think generally comparing our like music, I think you like your music a little more like electronic, and I like my music a little more like folky, which goes with our like general overall like vibe and style.
It is. I do like some folk, and I used to listen to it more than I do now.
I have discovered, me on my own, Lake Street Dive, which is so quirky, folksy, acoustic, and like Bad Self-Portraits, like one of my favorite songs that I've been listening to on repeat.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
We're in a music shearing place right now.
Yes.
We've hit that level of our friendship.
It's so serious, guys.
It's very intimate.
Most inspiring person you've personally met.
Ooh, fascinating.
Good stalling.
I can't decide if I want to cop out and go with like the true but like sort of cliche answer, or if I want to like dig deeper and see if I can find something
your mom.
Cool. It's actually Aaron. I know. He is just...
Oh, my heart just soared. I am such a hopeless romantic. That's adorable.
Aaron, in terms... So Aaron and I are very different people in a bunch of ways, and he is like the most artistic and creative and talented, but also like incredibly, like Aaron is a bunch of things that I kind of wish I was. And I think I am in some ways a bunch of things that he wished that he was. And we inspire each other in that way. And that's really cool. He's like incredibly talented and kind of incredibly not motivated with his talents. Like, he doesn't produce a lot, but he's like got so much inspiration and smarts and whatever in him. But he's also like this insanely laid back person. I don't think he's ever really been stressed ever in his entire life, which I find both like annoying and also just like awe inspiring.
So annoying and like a dream.
Right? Can you imagine?
No.
In a bunch of over like the time we've been together, he's chilled me out and I've sort of like pushed him to do a little more.
Light the fire under that butt.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If I had to like dig deeper and pick a less cliche answer, I don't know who I would have come up with. Anyway. Most inspiring place you've traveled to. I knew this would be hard because you've been to very cool places.
That's super hard.
I guess
I feel like there are two answers. Pre-Jeff and post-Jeff. Like,
interesting.
Before I knew Jeff. So the second time I went to Europe, I went to France and England. And I think especially England, feeling inspired. I felt very inspired artistically, writing-wise, while I was there, which I really love writing. And I've put some stuff out there into the world, but not very often. I don't feel as confident in that avenue. I just remember feeling motivated, you know, to write new lyrics or to write short stories after that. So that was really awesome. But it feels like a different lifetime because this is cliche. My husband is like a huge part of my life. And, you know, I traveled a few times prior to meeting him.
We're so sad.
I know. But we've been together for almost 4 years and we've traveled to Austin and Portland, Oregon, New Orleans, Montreal. And then we got married in Iceland. We eloped in Iceland. And being there with him, and we both appreciate art and music and street art and street food and just like getting out there and experiencing cities. And so I would say artistically, probably my overall answer is the place we eloped in Iceland. Just the landscape is, I'm not even capable of describing how moving and awe-inspiring it is. And being there with someone who makes me so happy, you know. And it was, you know, just a little plug here. If you are going to get married, both Sarah and I, to our respective partners, not yes. with each other, eloped.
Well, we may elope. There's plenty thinking. Of time.
Yeah. Round two might be with each other. But we both eloped and had that in the works before we each met each other.
Yeah.
And we eloped in the same year, in the same season, I think. So yep. that's kind
and
of
And we knew each
funny.
Other and neither of us were at each other's like weddings because yeah. we didn't know each yeah. other that well yet.
Well, nobody was at mine except yeah. for the
well,
minister.
You had your like wedding party afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't that tight.
No, not yet. Almost on the cusp.
If I could turn back time.
If I could turn back time. Sorry, you said it. You triggered the noise.
I know. What have I done? Turn that faucet off.
I think it's interesting. So you and I, one of the things we have in common, like our travel preferences are really like in sync with each mm-hmm. other. And we both prefer traveling to urban places.
Yep.
We both like exploring cities primarily. And like all of my favorite places that I've been have been cool cities.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that like you pick Iceland, where you were in a really like, at least where you got married, seemed really like
yes.
rural and landscapes. And
Reykjavik was, you know, yeah. a city, and that was very inspiring. You would die to go there because the street art there is phenomenal. There is so much, and I know that you love that.
It's my favorite thing.
Also, I mean, Portland, Oregon has a ton. And I mean, Austin, New Orleans, okay. Pretty much everywhere we've gone has had an immense amount. I mean, I guess that's just a par for course with
yeah.
urban places. Those were all specifically picked as vacations for us because of the highlighted art and culture aspect yeah. to all of them. So,
I mean, that's what I love about Montreal. That's what I love yeah. about Seattle.
Yep. Yeah. Here's a question that we ask a lot of our interviewees.
Crap.
Yeah. What advice would you give 18-year-old Sarah?
Oh, man.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily artistic or creatively based, but it could.
I would tell Sarah, oh, man, 18-year-old Sarah, what a mess that chick was. I would tell 18-year-old Sarah to chill. It is okay. Do not worry. You will figure it out. Like, 18-year-old Sarah was petrified because she didn't know what she wanted to do with her life, and it took her, me, until I was 27 to really know the answer to that question. And it is just not that big of a deal. So my advice to her would be to like, calm down, you'll figure it out, and just like say yes and take advantage of lots of opportunities.
That's a good answer.
Thank you. All right. A less deep question.
This is the last one to wrap it all up.
This is the last question. Make it good, Laura.
Drum roll.
If you had to give a 30-minute presentation, you have no time to prepare, what would you talk about?
Wow. That's an interesting one.
I bet you know what mine would be.
Bunnies.
Obviously.
In that voice.
Did you know that bunnies eat their own poop?
Okay, we're not getting into that yet.
Yet. Do you hear what she said? Yet.
It'll come. I won't be able to stop you. You're like a force of nature. Where I just talk or where people ask me questions.
You just talk. Maybe you get a little bit of time to make a PowerPoint.
Probably about my journey as an artist.
Oh, I love that.
I think I know that heart and soul. And I feel like whenever I see someone talking about what they're most passionate about, that's the most motivating. Like either they know their stuff inside and out and could, you know, just have the greatest memory. It's committed and it's solid so they can jump around in their speech and still land all their points.
Yeah.
That is not probably ever going to be me unless it's a very short speech. But if you talk about something passionately, if you babble on and on, if you go off track, you're forgiven because you're showing your love for something so much. And I think that's intoxicating and wonderful.
Yeah.
Side note, if it wasn't about art, it would be about Pathfinder, the tabletop RPG game that I play twice a week with my husband and two different gaming friend groups. And I love Pathfinder. It's a huge part of our lives. And most of my other friends don't get it and want me to shut up about it.
Well, you probably won't get a chance to do that, but you may get a chance to unprepared talk about your journey as an artist for 30 minutes or more on the Creative Guts podcast.
Hey,
I think at some point I will want to interview you about art.
What?
Put you on the spot.
I'm gonna be busy that day.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, can you call my people and
yeah.
That's the Sarah button. So we are just starting out and we will eventually probably have a dedicated website. But for now, the good old Facebook is where you can find us. Go to facebook.com/creativegutspodcast and you will get updates on where our podcast can be found, which if you're listening, you kind of already figured that out. But just in case you want variety. Also, you will see selfies of us with our guests and maybe links to their work or clips of their art and inevitably some pictures of our pets because we're huge animal friends here and just general updates on the podcast. We are going to be releasing this every Wednesday, probably in the AM East Coast time.
Thank you for being here. We are so excited to talk to the really cool people we're going to talk to, and we're really excited to share that with you. And we want you to let us know what you think and let us know what you want to hear.
And we hope that you're inspired and you, especially if you're a person who doesn't think that you can make something, create something, produce something that while it makes you happy, you can and you should.
Yeah.
We're going to be interviewing folks that do that all the time through the good and the bad. And the point is to keep working on what you love.
And we're hoping that you'll think about art and culture a little bit differently and realize how much of it is around you in the world and what an impact it has on your community.
I'm so happy we're doing this, Sarah.
Me too.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
And we get to hang out together all the time.
Yeah, that's getting a little old, but.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it's awkward.
Oh.
Okay. Well.
So.
So we are releasing this on July 3rd, and at the same time, we're also releasing episode 2 so that you can just sink your teeth in to the episodes that we're producing to get a taste for what's to come.
Yeah.
And please enjoy this upcoming episode with Rose Bryant, who is a fantastic painter, a wonderful human being, and an entrepreneur. Another adorable little tradition we've just manifested is we're going to send you off with a little slogan we came up with, which we will be doing at the end of every episode with our guests. So are you ready, Sarah?
Well, I just want you to know, keep in mind, in addition to it being cute, we also really mean it. We want you to do it.
Yes, we do. So with that,
show us your creative guts. also the housing planner for the Regional Economic Development Center.
Which is where I work. I just started thinking of workaholics and how they talk. I just thought that'd be funny to try. Not going to do it again.
Laura works there too.
Show us your gut.
Oh, wow. I screwed it up.
It wasn't me for once.
But it's always Laura.
I'll be cutting that because we peaked wicked.